Well, we're going back into our teaching today into the letters that John wrote to the church, John's letters to the church, which is 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. We're looking in here. Basically, what we've been doing is they technically call it topical teaching, where we look at certain topics within a letter and then take those and go through other scriptures and things to see what other scriptures have to say on the subject. And really what you do is you go into a lot of things you're going into and verifying things through other scriptural references rather than just saying, here, this says this. And one of the things that we've been covering here in this is looking at fellowship, because John spoke on the subject of fellowship, and we're going to go back through that today of what John said. We're going to go back to 1 John, to the first chapter as we begin this. Last week we went and looked into the areas, dealing in the areas of fellowship, and we went through the scriptures of all these. We went through scripture because 20 different times the word koinonia, which is translated fellowship, which speaks specifically to the believers in our union with Christ and with one another. And we looked at those, went through all those scriptures in there. And we dealt with this term koinonia is a term that's used, a Greek word, in the New Testament. What we're dealing with is koinonia is really a sharing, a unity. It's a close association, a partnership. It's participation. Also, we could say to the church is like a society. It's a certain group of people. It's like a society. The word is also translated and used as communion. The word fellowship is also used, and is used the majority of the time the word fellowship is used. And we went and took through it and looked at it as a fellowship, looking at it from that perspective. And since we went all through these things, this is one thing as you're going to find, this will help you in studying the Bible with for yourself. If you're studying a topic or thing in the Bible, you'll find this out. The more that you learn through the Bible, you learn some new stuff. A good thing to always do is take the new things that you learn and go back into things in the scriptures that you've already studied or you know from before and begin to look at them. You'll find that the new revelation will give you more light into the areas that you already studied. You'll end up getting new light. And that's one of the things. See, we went through, went down through 1 John and the first chapter of 1 John before. We went through it. Now, since we went through this teaching on fellowship, and I think it'll be even more clear to you, because we're going to go through that again. Because now as we bring this other stuff to light about fellowship, when we go down and talk about this, you'll find out now in the usage of this that if anybody that truly studied about fellowship from the scriptural standpoint would know that there's no way possible that this scriptures could have not been written to the church but written to the world. That's an impossibility. Because the world doesn't have fellowship with God, and they can't. Fellowship is going to come to God as first become into a relationship with God, and that's through the new birth. We got born again. When you got born again, you came into a relationship. That is the number one thing you have to have, is a relationship. If you don't have some type of relationship with an individual, you won't come to a place of fellowship. We join in and come into relationships with people in the natural, maybe because we work at the same place. That may make a type of relationship that you have with an individual because you work with them. That does not mean that you fellowship with that person. You may just have a work relationship. And there's really not a fellowship that you have. And it's the same way in other areas. Just, whatever things that people belong to. You have a neighbor. A neighbor, you may have a certain relationship, because I have relationships with neighbors here. Because we live in the same community, we talk. But we have there's probably from the standpoint a limited amount of what we would call fellowship. I mean, we may do some things on the surface, but we don't have close fellowship because I'm mostly dealing with sinners here that don't know Christ. So there's areas that we can't have really a close union like I could with another believer. And that's like being in the church, the church world. The church can have a union together in a fellowship with each other that nobody else can have. It's because of our connection with God. We have a connection with God that's sinners. Even though God loves the world, God's not in fellowship with the world, yet any believer can fellowship with God. And in that fellowship, we have the fellowship of believers. We looked what the scripture said about this thing. And that fellowship or that union that we can have with other people is based upon something that other ones don't have. We base it upon our faith in God. We base it upon, you know, around things of that, of a scriptural truth that we follow, what the Word of God says. So there's a union that we have or a tie together. And that really, that union is an eternal union. You and I are born again. We have eternal life. We have the life of God. And other people, you know, this is why we get around other people and they think we're sort of weird. Because we do seem weird. We talk differently about things. What we have as insight into things doesn't make sense to them because they don't have insight into it. They can't see into these things. And there's only one way that they can come to see into those things is through the new birth. And we're going to find out because a Christian can get over in the areas where the Christian won't understand other Christians. Christian can get into darkness and not be able to understand other Christians. And will think that they're weird or where they're coming from or what they're doing because they don't walk over into the areas of truth. They're in darkness about things and so they don't come into the knowledge of the truth in areas. So they think people are weird in the things that they talk about. You know, I remember when I first started listening to Kenneth Hagin, I thought, boy, it sounded weird. You know, because I had no understanding of a lot of things. And as I went on and started to learn, I started to realize, well, wow. This guy isn't talking weird. This is the stuff God is. This is the stuff, but you had to receive it. If you say, well, that's not true and that's not right, well, anybody that you accepts it, you're going to think it's pretty weird. You know, you're going to think, this is really strange. And to have fellowship. So when we go back, I want to start again as looking at 1 John because we're going to look at the subject again of fellowship in the light of things that we looked at already about that were said. We're going to start in verse 1. It says, John began his letter and said, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, and which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life, which is speaking of Christ. He's called the word of life. John wrote back in John, we had looked at before, where he said, you know, the word became flesh and dwelt among us. So John is talking, he's called the word of life, he's speaking of Christ. He said, the life was manifested, and we've seen it. Now he's talking, not talking about a spiritual manifestation, he's talking about Jesus literally was manifest in the earth. They touched him and handled him. I mean, this literally took place. So he's talking about from that standpoint, in other words, he's talking about the walking with Christ as a physical person. And he says that. He said, his hands have handled concerning the word of life. The life was manifested, and he said, we've seen. We bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. In other words, Jesus Christ manifested physically in the flesh. They saw God in the flesh. They handled God. He walked with them, ate with them, talked with them, and taught them and trained them. So he says, we declare to you that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. You know, here's something that's absolutely phenomenal. John is talking about a fellowship that he had with Jesus Christ. His initial fellowship with Jesus Christ was based upon physically with Jesus. But he said, you and I can have the same fellowship. Now think about this. You and I can have the same fellowship as he has, as he got done saying. Look, he said, that which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you, that your joy may be full. He's telling us that just because you can't handle or touch Jesus today physically, that is no limit of fellowship. That John's basically saying, I didn't have a better fellowship with Christ than you can have. Why? Because John and him had never lost any fellowship with him. Jesus left, and just because they couldn't touch him, and that they were still in union and fellowship, and he told us we can too. We can join in the same fellowship that he's in. So, I mean, that's astonishing. He told us that you and I, in other words, can know Jesus Christ as well, and I would say this, better than they knew him walking with him. And really they did. Because now he's glorified God. He indwells humans through the Holy Spirit. I mean, there is a union that you can have a fellowship that is beyond natural, and it's a supernatural fellowship. And you and I can all of us can experience. So he told us that. So in other words, there's a union for us. There's a fellowship that you and I can have with Jesus Christ, that fellowship, he says, with us, and truly our fellowship. He said, look, you guys can come and join in with the fellowship with us. We're fellowshipping with something. In other words, we have a union between each other, but also that what the basis of that union is the fact of who Jesus is and the Father. In other words, we can know that hookup just as well as they did walking with them. You never have to sit down and say what people, I've heard people say over the years, and heard people make these statements and say, oh, I wish I was back in the days that Jesus walked the earth. I can truly say this. I have never longed for that because I found out you can know Jesus as well. He can be as real to you as he was when he walked on the earth. It's because what people are trying to do is John told us, how could John say I could have a fellowship with them if it required me? They were better off because they touched him, because they walked with him. Well, he couldn't have said that. He made those statements, would be a lie. And so he's talking about a union and a fellowship, and truly this union. This is why as Christians, most of Christianity doesn't realize what the new birth's about. They really don't understand the glory of what they became, of what they are. It's because most of the church world teaches that the new birth is forgiveness of sin. They say, oh, you get what? You got? You know what you got? You got forgiveness of sin. I'm sorry. I got so much greater than that, and you got so much greater than that. You're now in a relationship with God. And through that relationship, you can enter into a fellowship with God that is more real than when Jesus Christ walked on this earth. Men touched him, talked to him. Just think of how many touched him and talked to him in the earth and were there on the day of crucifixion to kill him. But you and I have a union. And that union is through this birth. Now listen what John goes on to say. Now John's going to give a revelation. Here's a revelation that John wants you and me to have. He says this in verse 5. He's talking about this fellowship. He said, this is the message which we have heard from him. Now who's the him? It's Jesus. Now this is the message that Jesus taught them. And he said, from him, and declare to you. Now, I'm going to declare to you the message that Jesus told us. That God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Oh, if the church would have that revelation. Most of the church world believes that God has darkness in him. If you said to most Christians, you said to most ministers that they believe God has darkness in him, they'd get mad at you. But they believe God has sickness. He makes people sick, makes people poor. No, God is light. There is no darkness at all. There is nothing evil. See, we were teaching, and the teachings I've been doing on Sunday on jurisdictions. We find in jurisdictions, God, there's no evil in God. There's no bad in God. In God's jurisdiction is life and light. That's what you have inside of his jurisdiction. Now, if you go into the jurisdiction of Satan, which is the world system, there's darkness. And that's where all the darkness, when Adam sinned, darkness entered into the earth. Adam became dark to the things of God and didn't understand them. Over time, man lost, really, revelation of God. God slowly started revealing himself to men, but most men walked in darkness. They really didn't get it. And that's what sin will do. Sin puts people in the areas of darkness. So he said, I have this revelation, and the revelation is that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. There is no darkness in God. Now, did you ever think, we could go over and teach on the subject, just from this statement, we could teach on the subject of who we are in Christ. See, he said, in God. Well, let's stop down this. Are you in God? The Bible says that you're in Christ and Christ in God. So in God, what? In God, there isn't any darkness. And we know this through the new birth. You are now in God. You've been baptized into Christ. And the Bible says that Christ is in God. So therefore, you and I were born into complete light. There is no darkness. When you got born again, your new born again human spirit had no darkness whatsoever in it. None. Think about that. Not a bit of darkness. None whatsoever. In other words, there was nothing in your human spirit leading to sickness and disease and whatever else, a hatred and murder. That was removed from your spirit. Now that might not have been removed from people's minds, But we need to understand this. It was removed from your born-again spirit. There's no darkness in God. You couldn't have got born again in your human spirit. That's why you could never use the scripture from the Old Testament that says that a man's heart's always to do evil. A born-again person's heart would never knew, when they first get born again, their spirit would never consider evil. It wouldn't even be a thought. Why? Because it's not in there. It's not there. Now, people could end up putting it there. If people believe the wrong things, they put the wrong seeds inside themselves. Those seeds will grow up. But lots of times what goes on is in people's minds and dealing. That's why the Bible talks renewing your mind. You get yourself renewed to what you really are, what you've really become. So he's talking about here, this is the believer, because he says God's light. In God there's no darkness whatsoever. There's not any kind of darkness. And in you, there's no darkness. You're in Christ Jesus. Christ is in God. So in God, there's no kind of darkness. There's anything leads to any kind of evil. There's no sin in God. There's nothing of any wrongdoing. So if you were born of God, there couldn't be in you the same thing. Could not have been in you. You were born. You didn't have that. And so it is, to me, that is one of the greatest revelations. Just think about John put that down as, this is the message. I want to tell you what the message, what he told me to tell you guys. Yet the church really has almost, as a whole, has very little revelation about this at all. You know, as Kenneth Hagin used to say that, he said the church majors in the minors. He used to say anything of major importance they know nothing about, and anything of minor importance, boy, it's just, that's the biggie. And that's the way it's been. That's the way it's been. Right here, this is a revelation. And you know, and I would know this because I'm such a genius. I listened to Kenneth Hagin's teachings, and he talked about, you know, who we were in Christ and these things. And that's why when I look at this and say there's no darkness in God, there's nothing that leads to evil that harms people. God's good. You know, God has to judge evil. And he's so disliked to have to judge evil, he sent his son into the earth to save men so he didn't have to judge them. Why? Because there's no darkness in God. He ain't trying to figure out how to do something harmful to anybody. He don't want to have to judge men for sin. He doesn't want to have people going off to hell. He doesn't want none of that. That's Satan is working in that area. So, you know, that's a wonderful thing to meditate on because we're dealing in the areas of fellowship. You are going to be limited in your fellowship to God to think that God has darkness in him. Today, we're taught by people out here who are supposed to be reputable, you know, that, well, you're just going to sin. You're just going to get in darkness. You're just going to do this stuff. And they teach, well, see, grace made that all right. Now, you know, grace just took care of all this. Grace took care of this, and you're just going to sin. And what they've done is they minimized the glory of what God made us to be. They made it into something less than what it is. And because he says here, now, listen what he goes on to say. Now, he's writing this to believers. Verse 6, he says, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. Now, if a person walks in darkness, he tells us him, because God's light. Now, he's dealing in the areas of fellowship, not sonship. And I say sonship, I'm talking about the relationship we have through birth. You know, we have a birth relationship with God through the new birth. We are his children. Now he's talking about the fellowship that you have because of this relationship. If a person walks in darkness, they can't have a fellowship with him. Now, I want you to get the terms to walk in darkness. Listen to what he says. He uses the terms here. To walk in darkness and practice truth. What happens? They don't practice. In other words, it's the person's practice of life. He is not talking here about a person in darkness. They are in darkness by their practice. They're in darkness by what they walk in. He's not talking about somebody who comes along and stumbles, sins, you know, repents. He's talking about somebody who has the practice of sin. Someone who practices it. You know, you practice sin, you'll get good at it. Anything you practice at, you get good at and do a lot of. So understand, this is why there needs to be a set. The church cannot, because of their limited intelligence spiritually, and really, it is a limited intelligence spiritually, They can't justify these scriptures because, oh my God, what, am I not saved? They don't. They have this thing all messed up. We're dealing with the subject of fellowship. And the subject of fellowship here is dealing with this fact, is talking about a person's practice of life. We're talking about walking with God, your walk. If you sit down and read through the New Testament, especially read Paul's writings, Paul talked a lot about practicing sin or practicing righteousness. Paul talked about a person's walk, what we walk in or don't walk in, what we do and what we don't do. He talked a lot about it. In other words, a person's walk, how a person walks and lives. And we need to understand, he is not talking about an individual who misses the mark and sins. It's about people who become Christians, he's talking about here, who practice sin. Remember, John is writing to a people who have accepted wrong doctrinal principles, who told them that when you're saved, that you're spiritually, you're saved, but it don't matter what you do in your flesh. He's writing to them here, oh yes, it does. Your walk in this earth, what you do here is going to affect your fellowship with whether God will hang out with you or not, or whether you can hang out with God. People's practice of life. And so, he's not dealing here with individual sin. He's dealing with people's practices of life. They were told that it didn't matter what you did. You could just go ahead and live any old way you wanted to. You could follow the flesh. It's all right. It's okay. Just like I tell you today, you don't have to repent or confess your sin. You don't have to do that. In other words, your walk don't matter. God will fellowship with you anyhow. And you can fellowship with God. You need to understand, because he's using the terms light and darkness. In the dark, if we went and made this right inside here, totally pitch black, we could introduce people into this room and you wouldn't have a clue who they were. You know, in darkness, a person don't know that if the devil's talking to them or God's talking to them. They don't know if it's demons or whether it's angels. They have no clue. They're in darkness. See, when a person's in darkness, they don't know. They have no clue. When a person's over in the areas of darkness, they're not in fellowship with God. They can't see in that place. They can't understand in that place. Revelation. You know, I've watched people do this as over the years. They'll walk with God a while, then they get out into sin for longer than they walk with God. Then they'll come back to God when things get messed up and they want to get right with God. The only reason most of the time they want to get right with God is because they don't like the messed up. But they don't plan on leaving anything. They end up going back out in their things again. And I've watched this with people. What happens is every time that they come back, it's like starting anew again. There's revelation that they heard before, but it's like they need to be taught it again because they've lost the consciousness of it. They got out into sin, and in darkness, they can't see that truth anymore. And when they come back in, they have to be starting all over again all the time. That's why they don't ever grow or go any further, because of that in and out. They go into darkness, and in darkness, they lose that fellowship with God. The things that they've been taught become unclear to them. They don't really recognize it. They'll sit there and make a quote of scriptures, but have no idea what it's really saying. They don't understand anymore what it says. They're out here in the areas of darkness. You know, the Bible talks about people walking in darkness, stumbling. And that's what they do. They stumble around. See, it doesn't matter how much revelation you have. You get into darkness, you'll stumble around in darkness. And this is what he's dealing with. With fellowship with God, it breaks the unity and fellowship. You know, Paul wrote about person, if a person, especially certain sins that if an individual got into, he said, you don't fellowship with him anymore. You know, you want them to repent, but if they don't repent, you don't fellowship. You don't see, he said, don't even as much as eat with them. Why? They get into darkness, they'll start preaching their gospel. There's a gospel of darkness. And those people get in there, you know, who are you to judge me? Bible says you ain't supposed to judge. They always throw that stuff up, don't they? Shove that stuff right in your face. Right? Don't judge. Throw that stuff right out there, and the devil has got that into the church. Well, that's the church's message. Let them live like hell. Have a ministry to them while they live in hell. They got this crazy stuff. He's telling us that the person walking in darkness, he said, that individual's living a lie. Well, see, that's in line with what the Lord spoke to me, and I've used before. He said to me, many Christians, and he said, a lot of Christians, live a life of a lie. He said, if you asked them what they thought of liars, he said, they would tell they hate people lie. And he said, yet they are liars because they live a life like they're not. He said, they live a life like they're still in the world when they're not in the world. No, they live. Well, that's what he's saying here. That person walking in darkness, it says we lie and what? We don't practice the truth. In other words, you don't practice the truth in darkness. Nobody's ever in darkness in a truth practice. They're in a lie practice. Now understand, this is not, and get this to yourself, because if you let the devil teach you wrong about these things, you'll live in condemnation. He's not talking about missing the mark one time or blowing it here or there, asking God to forgive you and getting back on track. That is not the discussion here. The discussion here is the practice of sin. It's the practice of darkness, to live in darkness. So really, this whole conversation he's having here, he's having a conversation to people who are born again, who are out of fellowship with God by practicing sin. They're in a practice. So understand, he's not talking about somebody who just misses the mark. Everybody has missed the mark, but that doesn't mean we've walked in darkness. We're living out here in darkness. That's not our intent. He said, now he goes on and he makes this statement in verse 7. He says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, what? We have fellowship with one another. The blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Understand this. A person cannot practice sin and be forgiven of it and practice it. It's just like the prodigal son. He had to leave that land of sin. He had to come back to the Father's house. His forgiveness took place back at Dad's place, not out in darkness. See, many people, you know, we have the practices today. Catholicism has it. You go down and go to the priest and you admit what you did wrong and go back out and do it again. Well, you're allowed to, as long as you go every so often like they want you to go through confession. Now, I'm sure that they would hope that you didn't do it, but and they can sit and tell me anything they want. I went to school with majority Catholics. I know what it was. They used to say to me, oh, yeah, well, you know, we're going to go do it. We know this is wrong. We're going to go do this and we're doing that. We'll just go to confession next week, you know. And that was all part of the thing. You know, you just go, well, you know, they can go there and ask forgiveness all they want. God don't forgive them. God will not forgive an individual in darkness. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses in the light. You must always come to the light. That's what repentance means. Repentance means to turn, change direction. See, if a person's going to stay in the practice of sin, there's no point in asking forgiveness. That'll never happen. The blood of Jesus Christ does not cleanse in darkness. It cleanses in the light. So you come to the light, you come and say, look, Lord, I don't want to do this no more. That's not what I want to do. I don't want to practice sin. I want to practice righteousness. You know, I'm leaving the land of sin. So these people in the areas of practice, that's why you can't make a practice of sin, because that is an area of darkness. And in that area of darkness, Satan's going to get at you on things. He's going to do things. Now understand, God's not going to do things. He don't have to. Satan will. That's why with what Paul said, to turn him over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh. Why? God wasn't going to kill him because God don't kill him. He don't. He said, just let him over there with the one he's following. His practice in that sin, let him in that darkness with his Lord over there. He wants to see. You know what's going to happen? Once he gets over there, do you ever see it? The person that goes out there and lives like hell for a while, and all of a sudden things go rotten and they want to get back with God. Wow, get this off of me. And that's what they're doing. And so understand, this is what he's talking about. This is the practice of sin. The practice of sin will keep an individual into darkness. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses in the light. Then he says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Now listen, who's talking about? He's not talking about us in general. If we say we have no, well, Christians say they have no sin. It's not the statement he's making. We need to know the context of what he's talking about. He's talking about individuals who are walking in darkness. If a person who's walking in darkness and living in sin says he has fellowship with God, he's a liar. That individual lies. We say we don't have sin. He said we're lying. We don't practice the truth. He says if we say we have no sin, we are self-deceived. A self-deceived person Because would God, would Paul, excuse me, John be trying to put a sin consciousness in individuals? Is that what he's trying to do? Because we're going to find out, we're going to read some other things that John said here, and we know he could not have been speaking in the same manner of what people have read this. He's not talking to the individual. If we went out here and blew it, saying, oh, well, you know, we're just old sinners. See, that's what Christians have used. We're just old sinners. Say my grace. That's what we are. Just old sinners. We're just going to sin. That's what they've gotten out of this stuff. It's not what he's saying at all. He's talking about people who practice sin. If that individual's practice sin and they say they're not in darkness, these guys, they're a liar. They're self-deceived. He said this, the truth isn't in us. If I'm in the practice of sin and think it's all right, the truth is not in me. I haven't got the truth in me. I've got to get the truth in me. I have something inside of me that I let into my spirit, and it ain't right. It's darkness. And so, and remember, man reaps what he sows. He's going to reap what he sows. So then he says this. Now look, if we, what, confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Well, we know this. You have to come to the light. The blood of Jesus cleanses in the light. You have to leave that sin. In other words, that's not what we want to practice. We aren't allowed to practice sin. And anybody believes that we can is a deceiver. Anybody who teaches people that they can is a deceiver. They're on the devil's side. They're in darkness themselves, and they're preaching the gospel of darkness. If we say that we have not sinned, we have made him a liar, and his word is not in us. So his word's not in us. If these individuals, if the people who do this stuff, they're lying. He told me, he said, tells us they're lying, these individuals. These ones, he says, they make him out to be a liar. And they're, the word's not in them. The word's not in them. In other words, they haven't got the truth inside of them. They haven't got the word of God in them. They're practicing. That's why John was writing this letter. Because people are out here living. They're out here told that they can live like hell. You're still a Christian. You don't have to worry about all this stuff. You don't have to do all these things, you know, and out here, we have freedom. We got freedom. Because now listen to what John says here. And we know by what John makes a statement that he wasn't talking in these early verses trying to make every Christian out to be a sinner. Listen to what he says. My little children. Now, who's he right? My little children. Do you think he's talking about everybody in the world? No. He's talking to us believers. Now listen, my little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, now listen, he made a statement. He didn't say, well, we're all just going to sin, did he? He said, if anyone sins. In other words, it was not normal for the Christian to sin. Why would he have made a statement? Kenneth Hagin used to say about that statement, he said today, they would never say if anyone sins, he said, say when you sin. Because you're gonna. That's what they'd say to us. You know, they set us up to fall. The preaching that has gone on has set us up to fall. Because they don't preach the truth. This is why the truth got to be preached. So just from these statements, we know that he couldn't have been speaking like everybody was just, we were all just sinning, we're all liars. Is that what we are? It's not what he's talking about here. That's why the twisted, when people get over and start accepting darkness, it's no telling what kind of gospel will come out in them. The devil has gotten into the church and twisted the gospel and made it into something it's not. He says, if we do sin, in other words, if you and I do miss the mark, what do we have? We have an advocate with the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he himself is the propitiation. The propitiation just means a sin offering. He's a sin offering for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the world. Now the world, the same offering that you and I can be cleansed if we miss the mark. When sin means that, to miss the mark. If you and I miss the mark, we can confess our sin. You know, he didn't say here, you have to ask Jesus to forgive you. Did you notice that? How do you get forgiven? Confessing what you did wrong. You admit what you did wrong. He said, in other words, you admit what you did wrong, the blood cleanses you. That's how it works. You admit what you did wrong. So, he didn't say, go, God, forgive me. God said, what I want to know, what do you recognize what you did? You know why he wants you to do that? He wants you to voice and recognize the sin that you did because he wants you to be able to identify it. If you don't know what it is, you'll be in it again. You confess this is wrong to do. Yep, I did this. This is wrong. And he says, what? The blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. The blood of Jesus cleanses you in all sin in the light. That, in other words, it's about, the Bible talks about if we judge ourselves, we would not be judged. That's all we're doing is just judging ourselves. How do we judge her? Doing a self-judgment. This is what he says. The blood of Jesus Christ will cleanse you in self-judgment. You judge yourself. Look, I did this wrong. This is what I did. I missed it. I blew it. He didn't say linger over it, weep, cry, wail, roll around, you know, oh God, I'm so unworthy. He didn't say do none of that, did he? So we see that in its context in his writing. So we talk about fellowship, is understanding. This is what he's talking about in this area of fellowship. There is broken fellowship between the Christian who practices sin and God. There's a broken fellowship. And from Paul's writings, if we go back through Paul's writings dealt with the things of Christians breaking fellowship with other Christians because of sin. And if another Christian gets over into areas and begins to practice, you know, he goes through what different kinds of practices were: immorality, covetousness, and Christians who are just basically what he teaches is troublemakers. They're always causing trouble. It says, you know, if they don't repent of those things, don't as much as eat with them. See, you break fellowship. In other words, why? The person's in darkness. You can't fellowship. There's a breaking in the fellowship there. You hang around them, what happens? It gets on you. Christians need to learn and understand this. If God does not fellowship with an individual because they stay in darkness, what are we trying to fellowship with them for? Now, one thing we can do. Now, we're not supposed to hate them. You don't do that. You don't hate them. But you let them know they can't practice the things they do and hang out with you. You know, there's loads of people would change if the church would do what's right. No, today you can live like hell and go to the church and they'll give you a position. Think, well, if we get them to get involved, it'll help them get straightened out. Exactly opposite of the Bible teaches. That's why the churches are filled with sin. They're full of crazy stuff. It's because we teach it all different than what God taught it. God breaks fellowship. I ain't fellowshipping with whom God don't fellowship with. And I know if an individual's in the practice of sin, I'm not fellowshipping with him. I'm not hanging out with him. You know, we ain't doing counseling. You leave your sin, get in the light, the blood of Jesus will cleanse you from your sin. But if you go back into darkness, you're going there alone. I ain't going with you. So people need to understand this. I can't do that. I can't fellowship with darkness. Because if I do, I'm in trouble myself. I'll end up in trouble myself, and I don't want to go there. That's why he said a little leaven leavens the whole lump. In other words, you let that stuff get in and fester, it'll end up, we will all have problems. And that's why it's keeping that stuff out, letting people know that, you know, there's a fellowship that we have of believers, and it isn't a matter of people don't miss the mark, but anybody who says it's okay to live in sin, they can practice sin, and at the same time, they're okay, and they're talking about, oh, you know, they're in fellowship, oh, yeah, with God, I'm in fellowship. The Bible says that's a lie. That's not the truth. That's not true. This is what he's talking about here. He's talking about fellowship. He didn't say that they weren't a Christian. They're a Christian, but they're a Christian who's out of fellowship with God, and they are in darkness. In other words, they're walking, as we were teaching on with jurisdictions, they're walking in Satan's jurisdiction. They're over there living in that place of darkness. They're in the land of darkness. They might be born again. It's like the prodigal son. His daddy, he might have been a son of his daddy, but while he was out there, there was no benefit flow to him, was there? There was no benefits flowing out there to him. The only place the benefits were is back in his father's jurisdiction. When he came back to the light, then he had benefits. But while he was out there in darkness, he had none. And so that's what he's talking about here. This is fellowship thing. In the light, there's fellowship. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses in the light. You know, if you walk out here in the light, and you walk in that, you just because you make, it might blow it here or there or do something wrong, that's not walking in darkness. That's not a practice. And you need to understand, get that across to yourself. You may, you know, it's like one of these things. You may stumble a number of times over an area of a certain thing where you miss it. But when you miss it, you jump back in line again. That's not the practice of sin. The practice of sin is this, is when people say, we can do that, it's okay. these things we can do, you know, you don't have to be, you don't have to have this, you know, we don't have to walk this with this way. You can go out here and do this, you know, you can go out here and, you know, play around and mess around with women and doing all kinds. We can do this kind of stuff. It's okay. We can go out here and do all these different, we can lie, cheat, and steal. It don't matter. We're Christians, you know. There's a difference, and understand that. Because if that doesn't become clear to you, what happens is you end up living in condemnation. And you're always living over, and I just can't make it. I just can't do right. There's a part of growing up, you know. I've often watched with Braden. You know, you want to correct him as a child, but at the same time, you don't want to make him feel like he's just bad, because he's in a position of, you know, learning. And you know what? He'll do things. He does things wrong. He misses the mark. But he don't miss the mark because he just intentionally sits and plans to do something bad to get Pawpaw upset. He doesn't do it from that standpoint. But you have to. But you know what? There's some people out here. I mean, they go to that place. They refuse to change and listen. They go out there and they're just going to do evil. And they're Christians. I've been around them. And they're just going to do evil. They don't care. They're going to do it. And they're not going to walk in truth. They're not going to listen to nobody else. They're always right. You don't listen to anybody. That's one thing, as I say, the Bible's right. But you don't want to view yourself. If you view yourself wrong, you're going to live in condemnation. And God has no intent that you do that. In the light, the blood of Jesus cleanses from sin. And it's like he said, my little children, these things I write to you that you may not sin. And if anyone does sin, well, we have an advocate with the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's a propitiation. He's our sin offering. So we could go on and read down through further. But I hope when we're dealing areas, we talked about this fellowship thing, that you see this in writing clearly of what he's talking about here. Because this is one of the reasons why I think people got into wrong teaching over here in 1 John. Because they were trying to not have people into condemnation, but they did it through promoting sin. Oh, it's all right, you know. Sin's never right. Sin's never good. Sin will never help. Sin will always leave. The wages of sin is death. I mean, that's what it says. So he wasn't trying to make that it's okay to sin. But what he's trying to show us here, there are people out here practicing sin who are Christians. Now the world, how could somebody write this to the world? Everybody in the world's in darkness. They're all practicing sin. They're not in fellowship with God. How somebody other than they have to be in darkness would preach a gospel like that? They have to be in darkness. The world is in sin, and there's no way they can't see. They can't fellowship with God. They don't need to fellowship with God. They need to be saved. The subject here is fellowship. And why? Because you stay out in the areas of fellowship. Fellowship, you can always understand. You want to stay in fellowship with God, because in the areas of fellowship, in the areas of light, is where God's revelation flows. That's where we learn and gain knowledge and understand. We can't have that in darkness. And so, people, we can do things, and I've learned over my Christian walk, how to stay in the area where you're constantly learning. In other words, you're constantly getting revelation from God. It's by staying in the light. It's not getting over to practice sin. That we don't want to do that. That doesn't mean, I have missed the mark at times, folks. But that missing the mark does not have to stop revelation. You know, on Sunday I talked about the story again, you know, concerning Kenneth Hagin, where he, you know, went to the Lord about and said to the Lord, you know, the word says that if you're willing and obedient, you eat the good of the land. And the Lord told him, he says, yes. He said, you don't qualify. He said, because he said, you do it and you were obedient, but you weren't willing. You know, his unwillingness was sin. It was sin. And now think about this. Now, he wasn't, you know, he didn't realize what he was doing. He didn't realize at all what he was doing. But you see, you could get, I think it's a wonderful picture just in that story, the revelation that comes out of that story. Because as soon as he came to the light, God gave him revelation on how to prosper. He gave him revelation. See, in the light is where there's revelation. See, when he realized what he did wrong, he said, it didn't take me, he said, you know, weeks or months to repent and get right. He said, I got it. He said, you can get the want to right away if you want to. But in other words, he said he just made a change in himself on the inside, saying, look, I want to do the will of God. You know, what he was probably doing is, finally, he got over, I bet his inner man always wanted to do the will of God. He just, he's following the outside. He don't like what's going on. And so he made a change. And it's just the same way. He missed the mark. But Kenneth Hagin, if we would say this from a standpoint, he wasn't a man out here living and walking in darkness and practicing darkness. He wasn't practicing it. He wasn't in the practice of darkness. He was ignorant of the darkness he was in. Yet that darkness was affecting him in an area of revelation. Even though other areas, he had revelation. Because if you go read the whole story, the Lord had talked to him about, see, you know how to use faith over here, he said, for healing. He said, you've been doing that for years. But you never use faith for finances. See, he didn't understand that. He didn't know that. He was darkened to that. But it wasn't till he came to the light in an area, then God revealed revelation in another area for him to go. And understand this. This I find with people a lot of the times is what they're practicing sometimes. They may be in ignorance on it. But sometimes people, even in their ignorance, won't listen to what somebody else is trying to tell them. If they would turn around and realize that they're walking wrong, they would come to revelation real quick. God would be able to give them revelation real quick to get them back on path. I've seen people in the areas of healing and say they believe in divine healing. But I know they're walking in areas of darkness, not maybe intentionally at all. But they are in areas of darkness concerning things. And if that doesn't get straightened out, like with Kenneth Hagin, with his will standpoint, he didn't really want to do what the will of God was. Now, it may be something else with an individual. But until that's straightened out, it can keep revelation from coming to us. Revelation of God is in the light. And that's why we always want to be on areas where we judge ourselves. I don't want to wait to get judged. I don't want to go to that place. I want to be like the guy at the church at Corinth, waits till he gets turned over the devil for destruction of the flesh before he decides he's going to fix this thing up. I don't want to go there. I don't want to have to go that far. Sometimes I tell you, it seemed to me that I tried down that path. I don't just, you know, sometimes you take a shot at it anyhow. But we want to get over there. And why? Is in the light, that's where the revelation flows. I found that the more that I maintain myself to stay in areas of light, the more revelation comes to me on things. Revelation is not hard to get. It's a matter of, it's in the light. It's just the way that it is. It's in the light. That's why you'll see that some Christians grow so much faster. See, when I took off, I wondered why I grew so fast to other Christians. Well, I found out I didn't grow any faster than others could grow up. But what happens? I really worked at trying to stay in the light of things. I really worked at trying to stay in the light and not get carried off the wrong doctrine. A lot of people were doing a lot of things. It's one of the things, you have to walk in the revelation that you have. You know, there's some people that maybe they didn't have revelation that I had. That I wasn't, you know, there's things that I was taught I realized that other people didn't know. God's very merciful to people over time, but the more revelation you have, it's going to do better for you. You're going to work, things are going to work out better for you, the more revelation you have. But some people, I found that growing up spiritually, because I stayed more over in the areas of light, God would reveal things to me. And I, over the time, people would, you know, I've heard people say to me, you know, over the years of like, you know, well, you're really fortunate and God showed you this and that. And I tell people, I'm sorry, Ed wasn't fortunate. Ed didn't have a special relationship with God. Kenneth Hagin didn't have a special relationship with God that other men can't have. There's one thing that I grabbed a hold of when I started listening to him. Because he used to talk like God's not a respecter of persons, and he'd say all these things. And so, I don't know, it just dawned on me. And I used to say, well, Lord, you do all this stuff for Kenneth Hagin, you reveal all these things to him. Well, you're going to have to do that for me. You've got to do that for me. If I walk in the light, you're going to have to do that for me. You can't be, you know, coming talking to him and you don't talk to Ed. You know, the only way I can hear is I have to go listen to him to hear. I can't hear. You know how many Christians actually believe that kind of stuff? They may not say it with their mouth, but that's the way they live and believe. They think that Billy Graham has a special relationship with God. They believe, you know, Ken Copeland got a special relationship. You know? They believe they have certain special gifts that are just, they may have a certain gift. But I'm just like me, the areas of teaching. I can say this, and I've always said it for years. My teaching gift is as good as anybody else's, and anybody got a better one than I got. Well, would God give one guy a really great teaching gift and not the other guy? These poor people have to listen. That guy don't get as good a gift. Ain't that stupid? But see, you get ignorance, and what happens? People don't realize, over time, people preach darkness. People believed darkness, and they believed certain people could just have special relationships. Certain people would get certain wisdoms that others would not get. Think about this. Any gift that God puts in the earth in an individual is to minister that gift to others. So therefore, the revelation that that gift brings is for you. It wasn't put in the earth for that person just to have it. It's so you could have it. That's why it was there. So if you stay in the light, the more we stay in the light, the more we don't want to practice sin, the more we want to stay away from that, the more you're going to find that you're going to be a person who's quick to learn, quick to understand. You'll find you'll be like that. You'll be quick. You'll learn things that other people struggle for years. You know, I watch people go for years and years, still don't get it. I have people that I've known since I've been born again, and they've hardly moved from where they've been born again, but they won't listen. They stay over in areas of darkness, and they refuse to pay any attention, and they walk in that darkness. That darkness blinds them. They can't see things. They don't know stuff. So revelations come along, and when they look at somebody who gets revelation, well, who are they? You know, I don't know. Well, God gave that. You know how many times I've had ministers say, well, God gave that to you. And I look at them and I think, you poor dumb man, you stand up in front of people and you talk and you teach them the same ignorance you got, and those poor people can never grow up. It's special for you. God teaches me to teach others so they know it too. That's why he does it. Boy, I'm sure glad he does. There's no way I could have gained where I got today had he not put those things in other people and taught me. I mean, dear God. I mean, it's like, they didn't say, I'm sorry, we ain't going to teach you to it. Special wisdom for me. Yep. But you're a teacher. I'm sorry we don't teach it. It's special wisdom. Only give it to me. Good luck, you're on your own. And really, through the lack of knowledge in these areas, it's maintained people in the areas of darkness. And it wasn't because they were bad people. They had bad teaching. And they believed the teaching. And they walked in it. And actually, people are walking in darkness. And really, darkness is sin. It's in the land of sin. Now, it might not be intentional sin, but yet it's wrong. And wrong never gets the reward of right that right gets. You know, no matter how innocent, you know, a child can be so innocent. You know, we don't see a child touch a fire because he's a child and don't burn them. Even though they did it not understanding, not knowing, it would still burn them. Christians have this in Christianity today who believe that you can touch the fire and you don't get burned. Because, well, I just didn't know. Man, I don't want to go there. I've watched that. I've watched people live that. I've watched what happens. You know, God, the grace of God is amazing. It's amazing how many times he protected us from the burn. But he can't continually, forever he won't do that. Forever he won't do it. He can't. He can't. Not be a good father anyhow. He can't do that. And so, when you're looking at these things, and we want to continue to live and walk in the light of these areas. And when we talk about this walking, living in light, you know, there's things that are said in scriptures. And let me just give you this in Amos 3:3. I'll give you a few scriptures. Amos 3:3 says, can two walk together unless they're agreed? Now, this is the areas of fellowship. This is not sonship. Understand this? Not sonship. You're a child of God. You were a born-again child of God. He's talking about two walking in agreement or two walking in fellowship. Fellowship is based upon agreement. So in other words, the more that we can agree with things around the scriptures and stuff, the more fellowship we can have in the things of God, the more we agree. See, people will say, why do we have all these different churches? Because there's difference in teaching. You know, a guy could be over here in the Methodist church born again. I could maybe fellowship with him to a point, but there's a lot of things I can't fellowship with him as a Christian. We can't walk together in many things. You know, when he thinks that tongues is of the devil, we're just going to cause a problem. When he looks, and you know what? He doesn't realize he's in darkness. He called God's goodness the devil. And somebody comes along and tells him, no, that's God. He says, that's a lie. That ain't God, that's the devil. So think about that. It's so they look at it as being dark. They look at light as being darkness. What they don't realize it or not, he's telling a lie. He's not speaking the truth. Now, he's not intentionally lying. He believes it's so. But you know what God says? You know, it's a lie. God don't say, oh, it's okay. He just don't know any better. Poor guy. I'll still bless him like I bless the guy who knows the truth. No, he don't. It's like Jesus told Kenneth Hagin, I bless my people as much as I can. But he said the reason we don't have the flow of the Spirit, he said people don't walk in my plan and my purposes. He said they're not walking in it. So he said, but I bless them as much as I can. I try to do it. Why? Because he said my full blessing's in my full plan. So in other words, that guy, even though how innocent he may be in what he does, cannot have the full blessing of God. He can never have it. You and I can't have it if we decide to walk in darkness. If we decide to say, oh, I just want to stay over this, that's what I believe. Well, the Word don't teach it. Well, too bad, that's what I believe. I believe it. I've had people do that to me already where I said, well, the Bible says this about that. Well, that's what you believe, but that ain't what I believe. We believe this. And I say, well, good luck. Never works out well for them. I've had people, I've had born-again, Spirit-filled people disagree with what the Bible said. Kenneth Hagin said he had a guy one time came to him and a certain thing he wanted to counsel on. Brother Hagin got out and read the Bible to him. He said, I know that's in the Bible, but I don't want it that way. He took Brother Hagin's Bible out of his hand and threw it down. Brother Hagin said, I said to him, he said, don't matter whether you want it or not. That's the way it is. Don't you get it, there, son? I've never had that happen, but I've had people tell me already. I've told them what the Bible said, and they've just told me. I don't believe it that way. This is the way we believe. I say, well, that's good. You just go ahead and have at it. Tell me how it works out. It never does. But Amos 3:3 said, can two walk together unless they're agreed? Isaiah in 2:5 says this, O house of Jacob, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord. Come, let us walk in the light of the Lord. See, if you go over and read in Isaiah's dealing with Israel, because they're not walking in the light that they had, in other words, the revelation of God given to them through the law, they weren't walking in that revelation or in that light. They weren't walking. They're doing other stuff. And he's prompting them to come back to walk in. That's the light of the Lord. If you have fellowship with God, you're going to have to walk in the light of what he said. Ephesians 5:8 says, for you were once darkness. You were once. Do you know what you were once? I like that. He says you were once. It didn't say you are darkness. Ooh, they preach it today, don't they? You're just an old sinner saved by grace. We're just going to sin. That's not what Paul, writing to the church at Ephesus in 5:8 said, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. And then this is what he said. Now this is what you are. Now here's what he says. Walk as children of light. See that? You are children of light. He didn't say, become children of light. Did he? He didn't say, oh, no. He said, what? You are. You were once, before you got saved, you were a child of darkness. Now you're not that. You were once darkness. You're not that anymore. But now you are light in the Lord. And he says, what do? Walk as children of light. In other words, we could put this as sort of like this. Our conduct of life. Conduct our life like we're children of light. Live like you're a child of light. That's what he's saying. In other words, the way we express our Christianity is what we do in the natural. We express it. It don't matter how much of a confession I got. If my doing, James wrote about, he said, I'll show you my faith by what I do. Ever run anybody who sits around and confesses the word, but they do, they don't do it all? Says, you ever been around somebody like that? They got the confession, but that's all they got. Another one is, that's worthless. Their walk, and understand this, our confession is of no value to us if we walk in darkness. If I'm practicing in darkness, telling people I know what's true is of no value. You say, I know what to do is right. I know the truth. Whoa. I don't do it, but I live like this. But like, there's many people that think that just because they have information that they're just really, that's some kind of big deal. Having the right information is no value if it isn't lived. You know? If I know how to fix my car, but I don't do it, the car keeps running the same. Have you noticed? Well, see, having the information is of no value until it's done. There's great value in practicing the Word of God. Practicing the Word of God is huge value because that is our walk of light. And the church world today has moved over to Gnosticism a lot. It's all about what I believe and say. Very little about the walk. And here we're dealing with the area of fellowship. Can you imagine this? Our fellowship is not based upon the knowledge of God. Our fellowship with God is based upon our walk. Isn't that amazing? You don't hear that taught today. We hear that your fellowship, really, most people think their fellowship's based in knowledge. Knowledge is no value. God don't care how much you know about Him. What He wants a fellowship with the guy that's doing it right. That's what He is talking about. We're going to end there. We're going to go over to a little bit more about this, about walking in the light and walking in the truth of the Word of God. Go through some scriptures, what John has said and written, and we'll talk about them. But I hope going through there, that we get across to this thing is the of what we've learned so far about fellowship is when you read 1 John and read the first chapter and into the second chapter, 1 John, that you understand what he's saying about talking about fellowship. He's not talking on the areas about sonship. He's talking about fellowship. I can be a Christian and walk in darkness. And there's many Christians out here. There's people that end up in heaven that walked in a lot of darkness, a lot of things. And they might have been out in blatant bad sin. There's one thing is getting into blatant bad sin. If you look at the sins that Paul talked about separating yourself from people from, they're out and out blatant sins that Paul also wrote about things a Christian should not be practicing. These are definitely evil practices. He didn't say, look, if your brother's ignorant, don't know any better, stay away from him. You know, we'd never hang out with a baby Christian. You know, people don't, many times are in situations they don't know the difference of what to do. You know, there's certain doctrines that people haven't been taught as a Christian. He don't say because a guy doesn't know about tongues and interpretations, you don't hang around with him. He didn't say that. He didn't say because somebody got filled with the Holy Ghost, other people don't know about it, well, then you'd break fellowship with that individual. He didn't say none of those things. It's about other blatant sins, dealing in the area of sexual sins and things like that. The Bible's clear on the subject. It's clear on the things in the Bible about the judgment that comes upon people that are out here practicing, you know, running around committing adultery, fornication, homosexuality, and all that kind of stuff. There's blatant trouble you get into doing that. I mean, there's judgment that falls on that stuff. The Bible's clear on the subject. You know, lying and cheating and stealing, you know, that kind of stuff and doing things and, you know, being covetousness. The Bible says that's idolatry. And there's people out here among Christianity and they got into this financial stuff and into what finances and that stuff of giving and receiving. And they only do it because they're covetous. They don't do it because they love God or want to follow God. There's greed for money. They do what they do just to get bucks. Well, there's other people out here doing it exactly right. You know, they're out here giving. They love to give. They're believing God. God gives them stuff. Great. But there's people out here that are doing it for wrong motives and wrong things. And they're doing it for wrong reasons. And you get around a person that just covets all they want is stuff and things. I don't like to hang around Christians. There's some of them that come out of some of these groups I don't like to be around. Some of these ministers, I will not listen to them. I would never buy their books. Because all they talk about is getting stuff. That's all they got on their minds. Send me an offering and God will give you something. Send me. All they are is about getting stuff. They don't love people. They love money. It's always trying to get their hand in your pocket, you know. You know, God told me, if you send me $1,000, like one minister, I heard him say it in my own voice, it made me puke. You aren't going to give $1,000, you know, he said, come up here and I'll pray for you. If you're going to give $1,000, I'll pray for you. But if you ain't going to give $1,000, I ain't praying for you. And I'd say, well, I don't want your prayer anyhow. Probably be the devil get on me. I'm going to give. I don't want it, you know. Has to be $1,000. Yeah, that's what God said. Well, God said the woman who put in the two mites gave more than the guys who had. Little different, God's view. Said she gave everything she had. Those other guys would give it. I'll tell you this. Sometimes to me, money is much sometimes easier to give than to do what's right. Sometimes money is just an easy way to cop out of what you need to be doing. Oh, well, it's good teaching anyway. But, you know, it is. We have to know that about money. Because money's not the end of anything. And money's nice to have. Not knocking having money. I enjoy having money. But I don't want money to own me, dominate me. I don't want to get into darkness because of money. I don't want to go there. And so, but we have people out here that are ignorant. And so understand that he's not talking about staying away from people. Some people, you know, they don't want to hang around anybody if they don't know about the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I know people that don't know about the baptism of the Holy Ghost groups. They live better than the people who know about it. They live better, cleaner lives than the people. So what does it do any good to understand, have revelation, and not live it? It's of zero value. It's of no value whatsoever. But you're not supposed to live into condemnation. Hallelujah. So don't go there. Don't think that these things were written to condemn you, because we found out that these things were written so your joy would be full, not so you would feel condemned. So don't interpret them wrong. Watch yourself how you interpret Scripture. When Scripture starts bringing condemnation to you, you better find out. Now, it doesn't, I can understand, we may feel some condemnation because if Scripture does reveal to us something we're doing wrong. But even if it does, it's not to keep you, it's to show you you can repent and walk in joy. It's never to hold you over there and make you, oh, unworthy thing. I'm never good enough. I'll never, you know, amount to what I should be. We're just all just old sinners. If you start to, things seem to look at you that way, stop and say, you know what? I couldn't understand. I must not be understanding what this is saying at all. Because God is not going to talk to you like you're no worthless piece of nothing. He's not going to treat you in that way. He's not going to do that. You'll never get people to grow making them think they're scumbags. They ain't gonna, you know. If a teacher stood up and tried to teach kids in school and always run them down, told them they weren't worth anything and they're never going to learn in that stuff, or they ain't want to do it, what do you think is going to happen in that class? No, you try to, you know, you bring people up. I mean, even in this example, you have some people that never rise up to the point. But number one, you preach what's true, whether some people receive it and go with it. Kenneth Hagin said, you know, they told him that if you teach some of this stuff, he said, you give people a license to sin. He said, you don't need to give people a license to sin. They'll do it anyway. but he's right. He said, you don't stop preaching what's right because somebody else interprets it wrong, or you know, somebody else doesn't do what's right with it. You don't stop preaching. You know, we can't stop preaching in the areas on blessing of financing just because finances, because some people carry it off and get perverted with it. We don't stop what's true because somebody else messes the truth up. We still have, we preach the truth. So somebody else that perverts it, that's their problem. That's not mine. And the church world has done a lot of quit preaching certain things because people get carried away. We don't want to do that. And so, but don't ever let the word of God seem to condemn you and put you into condemnation. It's never its intent. Its intent is so you succeed. So you gain in confidence in God, and it'll always lead you to walk in the light. It'll always take you to that place. Praise God. Father, we just want to say thank you this morning as we've looked into these scriptures. And Father, we want to thank you for the light that we have here this morning. Father, I want to thank you for these things that John wrote down, that Lord Jesus, you yourself expressed to him and told him to give it to us. And we thank you, Father God, for helping us and teaching us to walk in the light so we can walk in the great blessings that you have prepared for us before the foundation of the world. And Father, we thank you that you've given us a path to walk in, live in, and it's a path of truth. It's a path of glory. We thank you, Father. That's our intent and our place to walk, and we want to thank you for the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses us from all sin. Lord God, Father God, removes the stain of sin so we can, Father, walk in the blessing that you have for us. We thank you, Father, for all that you're working and doing in us, and the great Lord God, the great work that you started in us from the new birth, you're going to bring it to completion to the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.